Sunday morning. Amen. We had a great time yesterday at Run for Hope. Amen. We had a great time there. How many were blessed yesterday? Amen. There at Run for Hope. Amen. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful presence there in the park. Amen. And we have family from all over Texas. Amen. All over Colorado and also New Mexico. Amen. They came in. Amen. Our multi-region came in. Amen. And it was just a beautiful thing to fellowship. Amen. With all the brothers and sisters and to see all the different tribes. Come on, somebody. Amen. To come and just to be there for a special time. Amen. And what a great cause it was. Amen. And on top of that, amen, it's always a blessing to have family. Amen. We're family here in Victory Outreach. Amen. It's always good to see family. Amen. And we have family with us this morning. Amen. From Victory Arch, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Amen. And this morning, amen, when we were planning this a few months ago, amen, it was like, you know, we're going to go for Run for Hope. Amen. And what I love about this part of our family, come on, somebody. You know, there's like a special bond.
Come on now.
You'll get it here in a little bit. Amen. Between us and them. Because how many know that, you know, not only Jesus glues us together, but the Dallas Cowboys glue us together too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, our guest speaker, amen, he's a regional pastor of the Rio Grande region, amen. He's also the senior pastor of Victory Arch Church of Albuquerque, him and his wife, amen. And then last time we had his spiritual son, Pastor Patrick, with us. I'm going to remember Pastor Patrick, amen. Brought the house down last time, amen. And this morning we have the privilege of having their pastors with us, amen. And so why don't we give them a good, warm welcome to Pastor Danny Sanchez, amen. His beautiful wife, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give them a warm welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to be here. You may be seated. So we're here and we're so happy to be here in Dallas, Texas. Well, actually, Grand Prairie, Texas.
Come on.
And so good to see family, Melissa and her beautiful family. Yes. And we're so happy to be here. Thank you guys for the invitation. And we're so proud of this church. You guys rocked yesterday. Wow, first place in your division. Now, give yourself another hand. Run for Hope is a big deal, and I'm telling you, you know, you might feel insignificant in this ministry sometimes because maybe you're not one of the big mega churches, and neither are we. But we want you to know that Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie are so blessed when they see people giving their hard-earned dollars to United We Can.
Yes.
I've been all over the world. I've had the privilege of traveling, and I have seen the fruit of our labor. So I want you to know it's not in vain. Don't stop. Continue to be faithful, and God's just going to continue to bless you. And that was a lot of money for your church. It really was. So I just want to say you guys did awesome. And, of course, coming together is an amazing thing. But Albuquerque is a beautiful, beautiful place. And we know that when you go to California, you have to pass through there. So we want you to know you have family. We want you to come and visit us and come and say hello. We love our city. We were both born and raised there. And I prayed for my husband for 10 years before he got saved. And God did a miracle in our marriage. So I don't know who that was for, but if you're believing God for a miracle in your family, do not be relentless, amen? I mean, be relentless and praying for them and believing and standing because God is a miracle-working God. And we're just so blessed to be here, and we love you guys. And we'll see you at the retreat, ladies. Come up soon. God bless you this morning.
All right. Now, we just celebrated 41 years of marriage. July 8th. But when you get to this time, we celebrate like for 4 months. We actually, our church, our amazing church, Pastor Pat and Shell and the whole crew, our ministerial staff and our leaders, they sent us on a cruise to a 10-day cruise to Southern Caribbean, all the way down to South America. That was amazing. And so I gained a little bit of weight on that trip. A lot of food, amen. 7-day cruise, you gain a few pounds, but you're on a 10-day cruise. My God, a lot of food. But it is good to be here this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet one more time. Your pastors, we've watched them, you know, we watched them through the years, just got to be raised up. And the church they come out of, you know, their spiritual parents have been faithful in this ministry for a long time. And we can see that they have bred the DNA here. They've bred the DNA, the quality and the love that they have for their city. And I never take it lightly. I don't care where I preach at. We travel all over the world, literally, and preach in a lot of different cities. This year I've been all over the place. I've been in so many different states and cities, and speaking and preaching. And I don't take it lightly at all. In fact, that when the doors open for me to preach, I really I'm so nervous. Even though I've been pastoring 27 years, and I still get real nervous and real. I don't want to come here with just a message.
Yeah.
I don't want to come here with just because I have to say something, but I want to have something to say. And so I've asked God, and I believe this is what God's given me for you. I was going to preach a message about giving.
Come on.
And then I realized, you know, you guys are givers. So I'll just tell you, keep on giving. And we'll get to the other message God gave me. Amen. And it's good to see the Williams family here too, and their spiritual daughters, and have them here with us. I know you come to the church here, but to see you guys, we miss you a lot. You know, we saw your daughter, the other daughter. We saw Aisha; she was there at church not long ago, and it's good to see. Good to see her in Albuquerque as well. But again, I'll take it lightly. Thank you, Pastor Francisco, for being here, for allowing us to be here. So it's really a privilege for us, you know, being your wife, precious wife. And I'm going to meet your parents, too. It's good to see your parents. I have the privilege of having my mom in church. And so it's good to have your parents. There's nothing like backup. Well, that's prayer warrior in our mamas. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, lift your hands for just a moment. Amen. Would you just lift them? Just for a moment or so. And maybe we can just sing a verse of that song. And just lift up your hands and just tell the Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift up your hands. Just lift up your voice and say, God, I really want you to speak to me. Most of you don't know who I am, but you know what? We know who saved us. And it doesn't matter who I am. It matters who he is. And if you just tap into him. If you just tap into him this morning, God wants to speak to you. He wants to give you a word. For their future. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful church. I pray you'd anoint me, God, to speak, to be able to to transmit, my God, the word that you've given me for this church. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles with me and open to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, just verse 1. We're going to read just one verse and we'll leave you to be seated. Thank you for this amazing worship team. Thank you guys so much. Amen. And I know you guys are doing something a little different. You're probably wondering, well, what are we doing here, Chicago? Don't we supposed to be doing announcements and offering all that stuff like that? But let me just confess something to you. I'm going to confess something to you. I came here on a mission to run for hope.
Yeah.
Raise a whole bunch of money.
Come on.
I won a bunch of gifts yesterday. Oh, my God, man. Pat's going to take all that stuff with him. Amen. And but we really came for Run for Hope. And we spoke with your pastor and said, could we come and speak? And he goes, yeah, come. But then also, we were going to go to a game, to a Cowboy game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought the game was at 6 o'clock, so I was like, man, we'll preach, go out to eat, fellowship, rest a little bit, you know, study the inside of our eyelids for a few hours, and then get to the game. But then they said, well, it's a 12 o'clock game. I said, 12 o'clock? I said, I got to preach like 4 minutes then. You know, and we're going, but the game's important, you know what I mean? God's important. We'll give God his time, but we've got to get to the game, you know? You know, underneath this shirt right here, there's a star right here, you know.
Come on.
You know? So,
yeah.
See, in New Mexico, you're either a Cowboy fan or you're a Bronco fan.
Oh,
and ain't nobody got time for no Bronco
fan.
You know, so if you're a Bronco fan, no offense, but, you know, Pastor Tom's preaching at the other church, Pastor Jesse's church, and he's a Bronco fan, the biggest Bronco fan on earth.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Denver himself.
Yeah.
And, you know. So we got a game to go to. So I told Pastor Francisco, I can preach, but I can only preach till a certain time. And he goes, really? He goes, that's more important. I go, you know? So anyway, but we're going to give it our best shot here. I got a word for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. But they're doing something different. They're kind of just shifting the way the service goes, okay? So it's good. Change is good.
Amen. Yeah,
sometimes you got to shift some things a little bit, all right?
All right.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1, by the way, we ate at Babe's Chicken yesterday. I think my wife doesn't stop thinking. She's been talking in her sleep about Babe's Chicken last night. Because she loves some fried chicken, and she's never eaten anything like that before in her life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season.
Yes.
A time for every purpose. Under heaven.
Yes.
Turn to somebody and say, for everything there's a season.
Amen.
And you can be seated. I came here to Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Come on.
When I was 10 years old. I lived just down the street, not far from here.
Good.
Never told your pastor this, but I was here for 3 months. My Uncle Joe was in the Navy and he was stationed here.
Wow.
And so they had an apartment. We lived here. And they invited me. I was real close to them. They invited me for the summer. I was getting a lot of trouble already at 10 years old. And so they invited me. My parents kind of shipped me out here to Grand Prairie, Texas. And I lived here like that whole 3 months. And I just had the summer here. And I didn't know why God brought me here. But God, the Lord has a season for everything under the sun.
Yeah,
and even all these years later, I realized and recognized that God was preparing me to go places at a young age. You know, I flew here when I was 10 years old on TWA, Trans World Airlines, it was called. TWA has been a long, that's old school. Some of you maybe a little older might remember TWA, but I flew here. The first time I flew here to this city. And first time I ever flew, and I find myself here this morning. Here in Grand Prairie, Texas, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't. It's unbelievable. It's serene to think about it. But there was a season of my life that I needed that season.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't realize I was in a tough season. My dad was in rehab during that time, in and out of prison during that time. He was a heroin addict, he was a gang member. We lived in the neighborhood. There was always shooting, stabbing. My front yard had blood in it from the fights and the parties and the, you know, that's who we were, that's who we lived. And so I somehow got out and I was rescued for those 3 months to get out into Grand Prairie, Texas. And I just had, it was a simple time. It was just a simple, my aunt didn't work. We hung out a lot and we just chilled and I was with them and it was something fresh for me. And I think they were trying to pull me out of there as well. And I just came here this morning with a word. And I came here this word that there's a season. Every season you've been through, there's a reason for it.
Yes.
And God wants to put a new song in your heart.
Yes.
He's going to pour out a fresh anointing in your season. Just because you're in a bad season does not mean it's bad.
Come on.
You're going through it in your season does not mean it's just messed up. There is a reason for your season.
Yes.
And you might not know it, but there's more in that season than you can see. See, because God desires to bless your life, but a lot of times the blessings don't come until you stretch, until you go through things. And what you have inside of you doesn't come out until you're in the right season for it to come out of. It's explosive and it's inside of you, but in order for it to come out, you have to step into a certain season so it will open up. If you stay in this season too long, you'll never see what's inside of you.
Come on.
If you could only believe and see what God has placed inside of you, then you would understand what I'm talking about. And that takes a spirit of expectation. When you're in a season, whether it be a good season or a bad season or a medium season, it is so vital, it is so crucial for you to understand that you need to possess expectation in your heart so that expectation is always brooding something. Something's about to break off here. I'm about to get promoted at work. I'm about to find that spouse finally after years of waiting on God. I'm about to start that business that I've always wanted to start. I'm about to get launched out to my city. There's always something inside of you that is always moving. It's called expectation. Your new season has to be accompanied by expectation.
Yes.
It's not just a rescue season the next season. Wow. Your next season is all planned out.
Yeah.
One of the greatest examples of someone that had to learn about the seasons of their life was Peter. You see, Peter really didn't perceive what was inside of him when he was with Jesus. But when he was with Jesus, he thought he knew, and he had a big mouth, and he talked out of place, but he didn't understand what was inside of him until later.
Come on.
And when he finally saw it, God used him explosively.
Yes.
Just when he thought he was out, man, God brought him back in. Yes. He brought him into a new season.
Yes.
His calling, his process. I mean, you think about the process of his life, how he was called. He was fishing one day, and Jesus just ran up on him. And his brother Andrew had brought him to him, and he said, listen, he goes, you fish for fish right now, but you're going to fish for men. And he called him out. He said, you're going to preach the gospel. And then he began the process of saying, you know what, upon you, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter.
Amen. Yes.
You're going to be the leader of this church. You're going to be the first leader of this church. You're going to see what God's going to do through your life. And he was like listening to him, and he was saying, but even the times when you think about Peter's process, when Jesus tried to wash his feet, and he was like, you can't wash my feet. I was trying to rebuke the Lord.
My God.
You know, I know there's nobody in here that's never rebuked the Lord before, you know.
Come on.
But you know what I'm talking about? Peter is a reed. He had some problems. So I've titled this message, Walking Into Your New Season.
Yes, yes.
And we serve a God of seasons. And this word addresses three major points that every believer encounters when we're stepping into seasons with God. And I want you to look around you this morning. This place is filled up. It's starting to fill up.
Come on.
And you're not going to contain this room too much longer.
Come on.
It's really starting to fill up, and I'm sure you're missing some people, because as pastors, I always say, well, where's this person, where's that person? They got work, or they're sick, or they're traveling, or whatever. And so, you know, you're already filling up. You're like packed out almost, you know. And so you have to understand, look around you, I want you to look around you right now. Just look at somebody right in the eye and tell them this, you know what, I just stepped into my new season. You didn't even realize. You came to church on a regular Sunday morning.
Yes, yes,
on a regular Sunday morning, coming to sing one of the songs you know.
Come on.
You came in here just the way you always do. You stopped and got what you needed to get before you got here.
Come on.
You dressed maybe in kind of the same way.
Yeah.
You got here and you said, I'm going to come to service. It's going to be good. I can't wait. We'll eat afterwards. Go watch a game, whatever.
Come on.
And I want you to know something right now. You don't even know you were set up by the Holy Ghost. The moment you walked through those doors, you walked into a new season.
Yeah.
Where's the men's home at? You know, you thought you're just coming to church because you got to come to church.
Come on.
You got to be here. So I just came in, you know, I had to do this and that before everybody else got here. And, you know, I know the drill. I've been doing this a long, long 3 decades. And so I know the mentality. I have it as a pastor sometimes. I just got to get to church Sunday. I got to preach a message. I've got same old, same old.
Come on.
But you don't realize that the moment you walked through the doors of this house this morning, you actually stepped into a whole brand new season. Huh? Do not turn to somebody and say, I just walked into my new season. Huh?
Yes.
God doesn't measure seasons with clocks and calendars.
Good.
But He measures seasons through truth. And revelations. God gave you a revelation and say, ooh, I didn't realize that. You know, I had forgotten. I hadn't mentioned Grand Prairie, my time here with my wife, or anything until I stepped onto this platform. It wasn't in my notes, it wasn't there when I was sitting there. Until I stepped onto this platform, all of a sudden it just clicked, and my memory says, you lived here when you were 10 years old. I've never told your pastor, Pastor, I used to live on this street over there. We lived over. Here I am, I stepped onto this platform, and boom, Grand Prairie just popped in my head. You were here when you were 10 years. That was a season.
Yes.
And that season was a good little season of protection. By the time I got back to, when I got back to Albuquerque when I was 11 and 12 and 13, I was in so much trouble. I got addicted to drugs. By the time I was 12 and 13, I was selling drugs. I was the little drug dealer in our neighborhood. I had guys selling for me already by the age of 13 years old. I was a drug dealer. And I became a drug dealer for many, 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 many years until I got saved when I was 27 years old. Like my wife said, for 10 years, she went through the hell season. Mm. Can I say hell in church here? You going to talk about hell? Heaven, hell? Okay, all right. But she went through hell on earth with me for 10 years. She prayed. She was in Victory Outreach for 10 years. Praying. I knew some of you were praying for your spouses.
Come on.
She was praying, and every year when she thought I'd get better, I got worse. And I got worse. And by the 10th year, I was on steroids worse.
My God.
Worse than ever I had been before.
Wow.
But God came in and rescued my life.
Yeah.
And so, just like our scripture verse says today, to everything there's a season.
Yes.
And every aspect of our lives, and there's a purpose for our seasons, a reason for it. There's a purpose for our process to get to that season.
Wow.
And in this season, if you want to get here, you've got to go through this season. There's no shortcuts.
That's good.
There is no shortcuts. There are seasons that many of you didn't want to go through, but you see now that you had to go through them.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more you see that.
Yeah.
Those seasons, you had to learn some things, and some of you had to unlearn some things, and you wouldn't have learned in them if you had just went through it real fast. Some of you were wondering why it took so long in that season, but there was a lot of stuff that had to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Huh? And just because you're going through some stuff right now, through the rough season, doesn't mean that God's forgotten you.
Amen.
Huh? He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And it's just not a little work. It's a good work God's doing inside of us. And you just step, as you step into seasons, remember that those seasons, God's doing something.
Yes.
We're going to just to take a quick glance at Peter. I tell you right now, this disciple, this leader, he became one of the greatest leaders of all times.
Right.
And Peter, he had to go through some seasons. And as we look at him, we look at a few things. And number one, when he stepped into a new season, it brought a new change to his life.
Yeah.
So number one, your new season always comes with a new change.
Wow.
Change is good. look like, you know how you are? Some of you put your shoes on the same way, your pants on the same way, you comb your hair the same way, you brush your teeth on the right side, the left side. You know, you do the same thing, that routine, especially those of you that done a little time. You have the routine like that. You got the routine down. You do things exactly the way you do it, girl. You know, you get ready just the same way every single day. It's just your way, your method. And that's okay. It's okay to do stuff like that. But just every once in a while, man, you gotta flip the script a little bit. Every once in a while, you gotta change some things up. And Peter was stuck. Peter was stuck, and God wanted to get that stuck out of him, and he wanted to see some changes, because change is inevitable. If you do one of those time lapse pictures, and you look at the time lapse pictures from 30 years ago, things have changed tremendously. Amen. And it's gonna happen whether you like it or not. See, we look outside at the world around us and notice things are different today than they were 10 years ago. Just 10 years ago, 2008, the first smartphone came out.
My God.
Before that, it was nothing like it. Now everybody's like, you know, now you don't even do that no more. You just talk to it or you look at it now. You know, if you're an iPhone 10, you just look. You don't even put your thumb. Just last 2 years ago, it's thumb. Now it's face recognition. Soon it'll be eye recognition. And things change, whether you like it or not. Things are always changing. Your city's changing. If you don't change, now let me get something wrong. When I say this, don't get me wrong. When I say if you don't change with your city, you're not going to be up to it. But I'm not talking about the changes of the culture. I'm talking about the changes with technology and changes with the way things are moving. Because you're not supposed to let Grand Prairie change your culture.
Come on,
You're supposed to change their culture.
Yeah.
When you're in a city. This city should not change your culture.
Yes.
Well, we better adapt because they don't like this and nobody like. No. You're Victory Outreach.
Come on.
And you might have a really different style than East LA does. You might have a little different style than Brooklyn, New York does, but it's the same vision.
Yes.
And you're called to change the culture here. Yes. The culture can't change you.
That's right. Come on.
But we must be ready for change.
Yes.
Even in God's creation, He created the seasons. I don't know about how many seasons are here, but in Albuquerque, we get all four seasons, sometimes six or seven. But four for sure. Right now, I want to go home, and guess what? All the leaves, I've been gone most of the year. They had to show videos of us to see what we look like. We've been gone so much. And we've been everywhere. And so, it's like we'll go home, and the leaves are going to start turning orange. Brown horn, they're going to fall off, and then all the trees are dead except the pines. So when people go visit our city, like even now, the Bloom Fest is next week. Then we got the UTC coming in on Monday for 2 weeks from the East Coast. They're going to come in there, and they're probably used to it because a lot of them are from Chicago. They know already that the seasons change, the trees die, and all that. But in most parts, when you come from a place where everything's green all the time, you get to a place that, like, what is wrong with this city? It looks dead. It's because we have different seasons, and sometimes we might feel and look a little bit dead in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to realize. I need some change.
Yeah,
it's good. I've got to change some things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta wait on it because you know what? Through that time of the cold, the trees stay dead, and then all of a sudden in the springtime, the buds start to bud out.
Yeah.
And you water it more, and before you know it, those leaves are green again. Cause that's the way life is. That's the way. Yeah. That's the season.
That's right, amen.
The change.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Every season is different. Mm. Some are meant for things to grow, and other things are meant to die off.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Are you with me? I need some help up in this house right here. In some seasons, the days are longer, and some of them, the nights are longer. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it seems like your days and your mountaintop experiences with God last a long time, and it's still so nice. But then you get down in the valley, and it's dark, and it's cold, and it's wet, and you say, when is this going to ever end? But you have to realize you've got to go through the valley to get to the mountaintop. And once you get to the mountaintop, you can't stay there forever. There's not much lives on top of the mountain, because it's just rocky, and there's not a lot of water up there, so you got to get down to the other side of the valley. And when you get to the other side of the valley, it's a big change from elevation to down where you're at. But you got to know this morning, that the down in the valley is where everything grows. Everything is running down there. It may not smell good, it may not look good, it may feel damp, and it might feel kind of bad, but that that's where the fertile ground is. Listen, you don't sow your seed at the top of the mountain, because the top of the mountain is rocky. There's nowhere for the root to grow. You sow your seed when you're down in the valley. When you're in the home 7 months and you're missing mama, and you're missing, and you're tired of telling people telling you what to do and go here and go there. That's when you sow your seed, because 5, 7, 8, 10, 12 years from now, when you're on the mountaintop, you won't forget the seed you sowed in. Maybe someone's going to get it here. It's in those long nights when the tears seem like they'll never stop flowing. Where it took a little longer. But you begin to enjoy and be grateful for the seasons of joy. God gives us truth to help us propel into new seasons.
Yes.
That's what God sent me here to do this morning. Man. Because you're stepping in a new season. See, we are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And if we didn't change things, we'd become complacent people. We can't be complacent. Your pastor's not complacent. They're movers, they're shakers. Right. That's why God brought you here.
That's right, amen.
Huh? And looking at Peter's life. When he entered into the new season, when Jesus called him in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, I'm just going to run quick, but Matthew 4, 18 to 20 says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting it into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. You see, one day Peter was just an ordinary fisherman, and then Jesus came in and he stepped into a new season. And when Jesus gave Peter the word, his life changed. Your life is going to change today. God is going to, you know what, some of you, your mind is going to click and say, that's what my pastor's been saying. Oh, I've been here for the last 5 Sundays, and he's been preaching his guts out. His heart has been, he's left his heart on the stage, and I hadn't got it, but today revelation has come that God has called me to not only follow with these pastors, but to help them build this city so we can reach it for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. See, Peter stepped into that season. He was transformed from a nobody into a somebody. A regular fisherman like everybody else on the Sea of Galilee to the leader of the now church. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? In other words, Jesus was taking Peter someplace he'd never been before. There was more than just change in his work. But there was an inward change that was happening. A breaking down. Huh? He was being made into a disciple.
Yes.
And there was a miracle in him. And there's a miracle inside of you.
Yes.
There is more than you see inside of you.
Yes.
You must have a spirit of expectation. Because there is something inside of you that wants. This requires a few changes. And once you make those couple of changes, you step right into what God has you for you in that season. And don't get so comfortable in that season, because it feels good sometimes to be in that good season. But then God will shift you into another season, because he said, okay, you got what you got. You've been blessed with what you've blessed with. Now I need to make sure to shave some things off of you. And I can't do it in the high season. I've got to do it in. Second thing is, so he steps into a new season and it brings change to him. But then he steps into a new season and it brings new challenges to him.
Yeah.
Right. And this morning, when everybody loves to hear about, it's a new season.
Come on.
It's
amen.
A new day.
Yeah. Come on now.
A fresh anointing is coming my way. East Dallas got Ricardo Sanchez, and you guys got Danny Sanchez. I love Ricardo, man. I'm not kidding you. I'm confessing feeling right here. I was this close. Pat loves to preach.
Come on.
And if I'd have told Pat, you got a message, he'd say, you know I got about 7 of them. He's always got one in the holster. You know what I mean? Well, if I'd have told, you know what, I love Ricardo, man. I'm gonna, Pastor Tom's my elder and melt everybody. I got to go be with Pastor Tom. I got to go be armor bearer. If I'd have told him that, he would have been like, Pastor, no problem, man. I'll preach, no problem. I love Ricardo. I've heard Ricardo Sanchez was leading his worship there. So I almost called your pastor. I'm going to get here at 9:30 and work with the team, and I'll lead worship here with you guys.
Nice.
not worshiping, you know. And then we'll have the Sanchez brothers, you know. Challenges, man. I remember when I was challenged. I remember I was challenged to lead worship at World Conference.
My God.
And I was like, I can't do that. They said, yes, you can. Right. So one of my first experiences while I was up there leading worship, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That came out okay. We worship God. I was fine. I was sitting on the corner over there, and Pastor Sunny calls him over there. In the front row. And Pastor Ed was preaching. You know that DNA, so let me give you a little story.
Yeah.
He was preaching, and you can see this on YouTube if you want. You can watch me do it, you can see it happen. But Pastor Ed calls me over and he challenges me. He goes, go ahead and go up there now. And I'm like, you could have just told me to go up there. He goes, go up there now and don't stop. Just go up there. He's been going on too long. And I go, okay, Pastor, call the keyboard player now. I go, okay. So I go up there, I call the keyboard player, and I go, start playing. He goes,
I'm not doing that.
That's Pastor Ed. He'll put me on the internet. So he's over there, so I had to walk across the whole back of the stage. First, I waited, and Pastor Ed goes, so I just kind of scooted like this and try to go stealth like when I'm hunting, because I'm a hunter. I try to go stealth behind everything like that. And Pastor Ed, you know how he was like, hey, who are you? And he knows me. You're that guy, huh? You're that guy. And I'm like, well, now I just got up and walked. Everybody's looking at me now. The whole world, the screens are on me. I look over to the keyboard and start playing. He goes, I go, play, dude. The pastor said to play, so he goes to record out there. And he goes, oh, you're that guy, huh? You guys, huh? It's like that, huh? They sent you, didn't they? You know what? They sent you like on a ride, you know what I mean? They sent you on a ride in the back seat. You're that guy. You got that, what, you got that thing now? You're going to put it around my neck and pull me off the stage? You watch it on YouTube. They show it all the time. And I'm like, I love you, Pastor Ed. I fear you, Pastor Ed. But I love and fear that man that's sitting over there more. So I'm going to do what I got to do. He challenged me. I've never done that before. But I said, my pastor challenged me. And look who he challenges me with. Why wasn't it somebody else? It could have been like Pastor Mitchell. He would have said, okay, Pastor Sunday said to do it, do it. It could have been Pastor Sunday Jr. said, come on, let's all sing together. Pastor Rick would have said, I guess time's up. Pastor Ed, though.
Who are you?
I'm like, man, I'm challenged. And you can watch it to this day.
Go on.
New challenges, man. When you go into a new season, you get a new challenge. They want a challenge for your pastors. They can't. They had it made over there at the church.
Come on.
They're leaders in the church. No, they don't have to worry about the bills. They have to worry about the budget here, about buildings, and people lock it up or don't lock it up. Or they don't have to worry about nothing. Sound systems. Nothing. They're just kind of just flowing into the leadership, and all of a sudden they go into the city. They're challenged.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind that when Peter was called to follow Jesus, that he faced not only many challenges in his life, but he faced big challenges.
Yes.
His traditions, his prejudice were all challenged when he followed Jesus into Samaria. Remember?
That's right.
He was a strong Jew, and they didn't get along with the Samaritans. At all.
Yeah.
He was challenged. His humility was challenged when the Son of God, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, lowered himself to the point of servant to wash his feet. He said, wait a minute, stop. You're not going to wash my feet. If you're going to wash me, if you wash all of me. And, oh, man, he talked out of place.
Come on.
You need to change. You got to go back to step one. It was that particular time where he stepped into the season of failure, where he deny Christ. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me, dude. You're going to deny me. And he's like, no, I won't. I'll die for you. I'll keep out of big bag Pedro. Peter. Big time Peter. Nobody ain't going to go out. Man, nobody ain't taking you out. I'll cut him.
Come on.
And he proved that he cut him. He cut a soldier's ear off.
Come on.
I mean, he's still carrying a knife. You could tell he was still a problem.
Wow.
You know, some of you might even have one, too.
Wow.
You're like, I know, just in case. You never know.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Don't take it on the plane with you. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, he's still, can you imagine that? Like, they come to get Jesus, and Jesus is there humble, and take me away, go ahead. And he's like,
come on,
I got you.
Yeah.
I know I got your ear, but I was going for your neck.
guy was got problems. Peter had problems. Yeah. This was going to be the leader. Imagine in heaven.
My God.
In heaven, they're saying, Jesus anointed him to be the leader? That guy?
Yeah. Come on.
Could you pick John? John's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he picked the worst of the worst.
Yes.
Huh? He denied he even knew him. He started. The Bible says he began to even. It doesn't say he cussed. If you read every commentary, but he did. He said words that were not just controversial. They were words of swearing. And I'm telling you right now, I guess you're the guy, huh? I had to. I love you, Pastor. He said, you know what? It's game time, Pastor. I'm like, ooh, got my back. It's better her than Pastor Pat. We had a running joke, says, Pastor, if you go past a certain time, then I'm going to have to play a keeper. I'm like, no! Pat, if you didn't tell you this when he was last time, was Michelle with you here?
Yeah.
Did you tell him the story about how you got Michelle? Okay, you guys know that. He got in the choir just to get Shell, but the guy couldn't sing, they had a microphone on. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for every season we go through. What Peter didn't know, and many of us today fail to realize, is that Jesus' love is greater than our failures. Yeah, we look at that, we make a little light of him kind of denying Christ, but no, that was a big deal. He was denying the Son of the living God, like many of us have. But there's that. There's something about mercy. When mercy meets grace, there's something about, you know, there's one thing that God can never do. You see, wait a minute. There's nothing God can't do. Yes, there is. There's one thing God can never, ever, ever, ever do. You can challenge me, all you bet these students can challenge me if you want. But there's something he can never do, and that is he can never stop loving you.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Ever. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you plan. He'll never stop loving you. You know what? I don't care what you've done. See, yeah, but there's this one thing that nobody knows. And I know that God's got it in for me. I know he's got it in for me. It's that one thing I've never confessed, the thing that's hidden down in there. God can never stop loving you now. Aren't you glad about that? Don't make you happy? That should make you happy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. I just got a problem with that. I don't believe God can do it. I think drug dealers are the worst people on earth, and that's what I was. Many people died and lost their whole families out of the greed of drug addiction.
My God.
Drug addiction through my life. For many, many years. I was 12 years old till I was 27 years old. And I want you to know, there's so many things I did as a youngster, and even as a Christian, the things I've thought, things I've said, and that they're not pleasing to God sometimes. We get into punishment season more, right? God chose to punish us. But I want you to know something. God will never stop loving you.
Yeah, right,
amen. Peter, a lot of us wear masks. We're a mask saying, if God sees who I really am, then he won't love me. Wow. Kind of like my stepdad didn't love me, or my real dad didn't love me, or I had no dad, and I had people that I thought might love me, but they didn't, and they abused me, or they shunned me, or they disgraced me, or they... So we'll put on the mask, man. We put on the mask. See, everything's okay. But God wants to go to the deep root. See, the season that you go into, God will put you in a season so you can get all that junk out. You can realize, wait a minute, I serve a God that shed his blood.
Yes.
He spilled his blood all over for me.
Yes.
Sometimes we say for them, for you. But he says, no, for me.
Yes.
To forgive me of all that trash, all the horrible deeds, the horrible sins. And we get that. That's where, if you say, why can't I get it like he gets it or she gets it? Why do I always struggle? I'm going to give you the key. And I'll give you the last point and we'll be done. And that key is this. That key is that when you get the revelation of who you are to God and how much he really loves you, and no matter how rotten you've ever been, rotten to the core,
and still he loves you.
Yeah.
When you get that, that causes you to be grateful.
Amen.
That causes you to take your mask off. That causes you to say, it challenges you. Peter had a choice. Jesus told, go to Jerusalem and wait for me now. Just wait for me. Remember when Mary went to the tomb? Jesus appeared to her. What did he say? He said, go tell Peter I'm alive. He didn't say, go tell all the disciples. He said, go tell Peter. Because Peter's got to get the revelation that I love him. I know he denied me, but he's got to know who I love him. God loves you. See, nobody really loves me because people, God loves you. And he'll never stop loving you. In Acts chapter 2, he steps into a whole new season. And that gives the last point that new seasons always birth new victories.
Yes.
Change, challenge, and victory. We're Victory Outreach, man. Yes. Let's live up to our name.
Amen.
Let's live up to our name that we're always in new victory. Peter was transformed from a fisherman into a powerhouse. He went from denying Christ and cussing him out, if you will, in the courtyard, telling people, I don't even know him. I don't know that blankety blank. He went from there to the upper room, got the anointing. The Bible says the first time he preached the message, 3,000 souls got saved. You want that kind of power? But that's going to take getting with God. See, God has transformed us by his power. God is going to put a new song in your heart, Victor Average Grand Perry.
Yes.
There's a new season coming for you. But you got to expect it. You've got to expect it. You're attracted to what you expect.
Yes.
And if you don't expect it, you're not going to be attracted to it. It's going to be like just mundane, another service. It's another conference. I'm going to the women's conference. I have to go to the women's leadership because I have my mask on. So I gotta go, cause you know I gotta go, cause I got status, leader.
Come on.
I wanna look good about it.
Come on.
You gotta go expecting, especially if we go to Palm Springs. My wife's preaching.
Come on. Woo.
I got, she got a word. I got her message. I'm like, I'm doing the altar call right now. But San Antonio, once you're going to San Antonio, ladies, take your mask off and just go with an open heart and say, God, speak to me. So Julie's gonna be there. My God, come on.
Yes.
You might not know this. There's more inside of you than you can see. Let me wrap this up. God wants to. I know this might sound like a Victor Average cliche, but God wants to bring city takers out of this. You guys, you have a DNA of church planting from your pastor's pastor.
Yes,
God wants to raise up pastors and evangelists and home directors and leaders out of this body right here.
Yes.
Huh? Some of you missionaries to the missionary UTCs, the UTC, the missionary school. God wants to bring you up. He wants to lift you up, but he wants to send you to the four corners of the world. But you have to take expectation of that. You have to walk into that season. Come on, man. Those who were once held under are now going to be coming over. Those who were once forgotten are now going to be remembered. Those who were depressed and rejected are now going to be able to start rejoicing, taking that mask off and saying, enough's enough. Those at one time who had their heads down, you can start walking with your head up and say, yeah, I used to be like that. Yeah, I used to be in jail. Yeah, I used to do this. Yeah, I used to do that. God will give you some joy in your life. Those who once were poor, you're going to live in one of these houses we just passed by a while ago. I said, wow, look at those houses. You're going to have a life group in one of those houses, and you're going to tell the people in your life group, I used to be a drug addict, but look what God has done. Those who are afflicted by sin are going to overcome sin. Listen, you're going into a new season. season. I believe I'm talking to some people this morning that need the truth and revelation. Some of you got to learn how to praise God all by yourself. You can't be dependent on here. You got to learn how to praise God and get your hallelujah when you're in your car, when you're at home. That's the victory. And when you get here, you just join with everybody else. I'm here to tell you today that you're stepping into a new season. Look at somebody with a voice of triumph and say, my new season is here. Step into your change. Step into your challenge and watch the victory. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Come on, sing this song. If God has spoken to your heart, if you say, you know what? God told him to go was the brook Cherith. That word Cherith in Hebrew is the word Kerith. And a Kerith was not really a brook like a stream. It was a place like a hole kind of where when it would rain, the water would fill it up and it would have water as long as there was rain. So God took Elijah to a place that should have been dry, but there was water in it. That means it was miraculous provision. You guys are believing for miraculous provision. Yes, Lord. You need to know that God's going to direct you,
thank you, Lord,
to that place where the water's at. But when the water dries up, don't be scared. And whatever you do, don't question God. Because God always redirects provision when he closes one door. Always. Don't say, well, what happened there? What could we have done different? No. He redirects his provision. And he always provides where he guides. So Do you trust that word? That God's taking you to a place of miraculous provision that's going to blow your mind. And you're going to remember that it's God that does that.
Amen.
Not the hustle, not the moves, but it's God. And you know what's even crazier? Is that when God did that, when God brought the water, when he stopped the water, first of all, the reason why God used Elijah to pray that way, and the reason God did it is because the people who served Baal, they thought Baal was in charge of the weather. And the devil thinks he's in charge of things. But what happened is that when God stopped the water, and then it was controlled by that, that God was showing the people that worshipped false Baal that he's in charge of the weather. He's in charge of everything. He's in charge of the rain. He's in charge of provision. Not the devil. Not the enemy. Not all the situations, but God's in charge of it. So you know that. He's coming with fresh rain and fresh anointing over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, these are your servants. We're so proud of these two. We watch them, God. Come on. I pray, God, you'll always, always refresh them. I pray you'll always surround them with leaders, my God, that will hold their arms up and help them, Father. I pray, God, that you, for a refreshing spirit, this new season they're walking into, God, will be such a blessed season, oh God. It would, all they could do is give you glory and honor, that the people of this church would know and see, my God, the anointing that is with them, God. Protect them, my God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Provide for them and for this church, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. This brother right here, this is Paul. I was connecting with you when I was preaching. I was just thinking to myself, you know, nobody knows. They know only what we tell them. You know what I mean? I just some stuff I can't tell my wife. I've been with her 41 years and I can't tell them. Because I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to do it. This thing's way down, right? I got to say, I had to come to a place where I told him, at your break, when you start doing this, that's what raise you up now. That's what bless you. Okay, but you gotta talk with Jesus. And this time you're at home, right? Those early morning chapel services, where prayer time, you have an hour of prayer. Talk to him. So just let him know. I've been hiding this one for a long time. I know you know, but I'm still hiding it. It's like a kid that tries to hide things that dad and mom know. They don't know exactly. They're hiding it. That goes for all the guys who hold up. Specifically, God said to speak to you about it. I just pray for this young man. I pray to Father that you want to do something so fantastic in his life. Let him just begin to pour it out to you. Take the mask off. Take the mask off of him right now. In the name of Jesus. Just take it off. Let him take the mask off. Let him get truthful with you and give him that new season. The one he's always wanted. The ones he might have had before. But not like this. I pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Come receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Come on, let those hands lift it. Lift them Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Everything's becoming new.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. What a powerful, timely word for our church. Amen.
Yes.
For your family. Yes. Amen. For your marriage.
Yes.
I know this
some marriages that are stepping into a new season. Come on, somebody shout amen. That bad season you're stepping out of, and you're going into a new season. Your family's going into a new season. Your finances, come on, somebody. Going into a new season. Some of the gang, you teenagers, you're going into a new season. Come on, somebody. Amen. What a powerful word, amen. That my favorite part was that expectation.
Yes.
That expectation, amen. That we gotta expect. I love the story in the Bible where it was Peter and John were going to the temple on their way to prayer. And it says that they were met by a beggar, a blind man that was begging, that was put at the door to beg for change at the temple door. And it says that as Peter and John approached, it says that he began to cry out to John and Peter, you know, for money, for alms. John looked at him and Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give unto thee." And it says that beggar looked with them with expectation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It says that he looked expecting to receive something.
Yes.
Oh man, if only the people could get that revelation.
Yes.
If only you could get that revelation this morning. If only you came to church every Sunday expecting, come on somebody. Come on now, expecting to receive your miracle, expecting to receive your breakthrough, expecting for your marriage to change, expecting for your life to change, expecting. Is anybody expecting this morning? I want you to get that in your spirit. I want you to leave that thing within your spirit. Begin to expect God to move this week.
Amen.
Begin to expect God to move in Monday. Come on. Expect that raise. Expect that promotion. Expect that blessing.
Yes.
Expect that breakthrough.
Yes.
Expect that new life that God has for your life. I'm going to receive that word. Amen. What a powerful word. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Lift your hands. If that's you, say, "You know what, Pastor? That's me. I want to expect that." I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, God, I pray that new season upon Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, upon each family, upon each married couple, God, I pray that they would leave this place with the spirit of expectancy for that breakthrough, for that blessing, God, for whatever you have for each and every one of us, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because, Lord, we thank you, God, on the other side of the blessing.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for it, God. We receive it already.
Ready.
And we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. If you expect to receive it, I want you to give me a big, strong amen.
Amen.
To be seated, and I'm going to call the ushers. Amen. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. We have not given to the Lord, and so we want to give. Ushers, move quickly. Amen. Let's come. We want to receive our tithes and offerings. Amen. And we want to give to the Lord. Amen. If you need an envelope, amen, and we may have some leaders helping the ushers. If you need an envelope to give your tithes this morning, your offering, raise your hand. The ushers are going to give you an envelope. Amen. If they can give me an envelope here this morning, AC, you can give me an envelope up here. Amen. You want to give, amen, your tithes, your offerings, raise your hand, the ushers will give you an envelope. Listen, there's no excuse for us not to give this morning, amen. After a word like that, amen, we got to give expecting. Come on, somebody. Give your tithe expecting here this morning, amen. You know, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, it says that, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven." God is saying to test him. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you do this, if you pay your tithes, listen, you can expect to receive that blessing.
Amen.
You can expect to receive the floodgates of heaven open upon your life.
Amen.
Amen. That is what happens when we tithe to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You get a spiritual insurance. You get a spiritual covering over you when you give your tithe. When you bring the tithe and the offering, you're United We Can, your building fund. You can also get towards your building fund. Amen. And there's 5 ways to give here this morning. Amen. You can give with cash. Amen. You can give with the square. The ladies at the end, they can hold up the square. Amen. You can give with the square. If you didn't bring cash, you can give with your debit card, your bank card. Keep it up, ladies. Amen. You can give with your debit card. Also, you can give with the check. Write it out to Victory Outreach. If you're watching online or even here, you can give through our text. We have text giving. Amen. And just text the amount you want to give to 214-444-6597. Again, 214-444-6597. You can give through text here this morning. You're watching online. You can give through a text. You can give through our website, amen, www.vogp.org. You can give through our website, amen. And, you know, we've been in a season of giving in Victory Outreach, amen.
Amen.
You know, you heard it, amen. It wasn't me, it was Pastor Danny, amen, that said it, amen, that we're a giving church.
Amen.
You know, we're a giving church. It's beautiful when people start to notice our church that it's a giving church.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. It's beautiful to see when somebody else notices, amen. Come on now, the Bible says let another man praise you. Amen. And it's beautiful to see that people look at our church as a giving church. Amen. Because we're a giving people. Because we're not dumb. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because we know we can't outgive God. God has taught Victory Outreach Grand Prairie that we can't outgive God. So whatever you give to God this morning, listen, if you give to God this morning, whatever you give to God, God ain't going to let you outgive him. He's going to make sure he blesses you more than you bless his house. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I'm a living witness. Amen. I've been tithing and giving my pledges and my offerings for 18 years. And God has been faithful. Amen. Because I have the conviction to give 10% to the Lord. And even more, 15%, 30% to the Lord. Amen. Me and my wife, we give to our building fund pledge. Amen. And we give to United We Can. Amen. And we're givers. We firmly believe in giving, and God has blessed our lives.
Amen.
So this morning, I pray that you would be a tither. That you, if you're not a tither, that you'll begin to tithe. Amen. That you'll begin to give to the Lord and be faithful in your tithes and offerings. Does anybody else need an envelope to give here this morning? Amen. Raise your hand. Anybody else? We don't want to miss you. It's your season to give. Praise the Lord. How many love Jesus this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, you can give with the check. You can give with the square. Amen. You can give through a text message. Amen. You can give online. Amen. So let's be faithful to the Lord. Are you ready to give?
Yeah.
Amen. Are you ready to give?
Yeah.
Amen. How many love Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet here with me this morning. Lift your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Your building fund pledge. Let's be faithful to our building fund pledge. We started to build our wall in the back.
Amen.
We took the Run for Hope thing off, and we're going to start to build the wall. So what we're doing is every time you give towards a building fund, which is besides your tithe, which is $50 a month, you get a brick. Amen. We add a brick to the wall. And so our goal is in the next year, another couple of years, that whole wall, back wall, is going to be built up. Come on, somebody. Going to be built up. Amen. So the more you see that wall being built, the more you know we're going forward into our future, a new season that God has for Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. That represents the future for us.
Right.
Amen. That all is going into our savings account. Amen. It's being saved for when God, if he wants us to purchase this building, another building, build. Come on, somebody. I'm going to build.
Yeah.
We can buy some property and build. Amen.
Hello.
Just build for the Lord. Amen. So let's be faithful in our building fund pledge. Amen.
Amen.
Lift your envelopes to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to give here this morning. God, I pray that you bless all those that are giving their tithes and their offering this morning. God, bless their socks off, God. Lord, because we are putting you to the test. And God, we thank you, God, that you are faithful, Lord. Bless your people this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody says,
amen.
When you're ready to give, come give to the Lord. You want to give with a square, come see the ladies on the side of the altar. You can give with your debit card. Hallelujah. Your credit card. Amen. Let's give unto the Lord.